Good evening. Tonight we're going to do a study on two different things. Two different things that many Christians do today that are sins in the eyes of God. One is cursing. Two is getting tattoos. Now I know many of you have tattoos in the church. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody that has tattoos, but what does the Bible say about cursing and about having tattoos? Open your Bibles tonight. We're going to talk first about, is cursing a sin in the eyes of God? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read verse 23 through 32. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have him to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight that we're going to study. And our first topic is cursing a sin. I was listening last night to a man that claimed to be a Christian on the MMA show that used bad language, and he thought it was all right. And I want to bring out tonight in our study what God really thinks about Christians who curse. Help us to read your Word. Help us to learn from it. And help us to take what is said and apply it to our lives tonight. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. It's totally cool to use profanity, right? Many Christians today seem to think that it is. More and more Christians today use what they call little curse words. You stubbed your big toe on the corner of the coffee table and then tripped over your toy car. What will the response be and the words that will spill out of your mouth? Let's pause for a second and admit that the phrase or words won't be, "Oh golly, I stubbed my toe and tripped on that cute toy." We need to reel and admit that you might use a curse word. If you said that you don't and you never did, that might be lying to God. Some words carry a little linguistic baggage, and many of these words make up blush and could be a sign of a weak vocabulary. This could be the result of lack of education, laziness, and impulsiveness. In line with this idea, we tend to judge vulgarians quite harshly, rating them as lower on social intelligence status, less effective at our jobs, and less friendly. No matter if it is a lack of education or common practice in your life, cursing is up to much deliberation as being sinful. So what does the Bible say about curse words and words that tear down instead of building each other up? We notice in Ephesians chapter 4 what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication includes cursing. Don't let any cursing proceed out of your mouth. Well, what does Paul go on to say? But use words which are good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, I know many of you probably disagree with me tonight that are here that use minor curse words, but the Bible is very clear. We are not to use curse words. We are not to use them no matter what the instance, no matter what we do, no matter where we are. We're to keep our vocabulary clean in the eyes of God. I want to share with you five basic principles to consider if cursing is actually immoral for the believer. Number one, the spirit behind cursing is a sin. The words may be wrong, but the spirit behind cursing is worse. When we swear, there's a spirit of anger behind it. Ask yourself the following question. Is it true that whenever you express your feelings, this leads to a fight? How do you know with certainty that it will lead to a fight? What alternative outcomes might be possible? Has there ever been an instance where you did express your feelings and nothing bad happened? When you put this in another light, it seems to be a sin. No one ever uttered a cuss word without there being some kind of bitterness or anger underlying it. Secondly, cursing was condemned by Christ. Swearing oaths was a common practice in Jesus' day. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37, records Jesus speaking on the subject. Again, you have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea and nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If you ask Jesus if you could use profanity, what would he say? If he didn't want us to make a swearing oath, why would he want us to swear at all? Number three, we need to watch our words. We are told that we need to be careful with our words as they will give life or offer death. The Bible shared that by our words we are punished, by our words we will be justified. Paul gives us concrete evidence in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30 regarding our conversation. He says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Even George Washington talked about using our words foolishly. He said this, the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing is a vice so mean and low that every person of sense and character detests and despises it. Listen, cursing may hinder our witness. That's the fourth thing we want to know and we want to look at tonight. Cursing may hinder your witness for Christ. What are you going to do if you get out in the world and somebody hears you using cuss words? Somebody hears you talking like they talk. They're not going to think that you're any different than they are. Cursing another person may take many forms. It can be used vulgar hand gestures out of a car window when someone cuts you off, or use profane gestures behind a person's back. Instead of cursing, Jesus encouraged us in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. He says this, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. You never know who is watching you, and you never know if that person is a Christian or a lost man. As believers, we are on a world stage, so it makes sense that we need to be heedful of flipping a person off in traffic or in public. Furthermore, when a believer hears you using curse words, you destroy your witness for Christ and could possibly ruin that person's chance of ever being saved. Fifthly, we will all be held accountable. We know for certain what words will be judged when we meet God in heaven. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, we're told that good people do the good things that are in them, and using profanity isn't considered to be a good characteristic. We need to give an account of the words that we have spoke, and our little vulgar outbursts may be condemned, so let's repent and do our best. If not, we will find out in the end what Jesus thinks about it." Jesus says this in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Remember that whatever goes out of your mouth comes from within, and that's what makes a person unclean. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual sins, stealing, lying, and cursing come from within." Jesus again says in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornicators, thieves, false witnesses, blasphemers." Psalms 36, verse 1 through 3 shares these words. The Bible says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good." We gather this information and really look at these words of the Bible, and we find out it is a sin to curse. We gather this can be equivalent for the Christian who curses. No one is perfect, and you may fail in this area and in other areas. So it is very important we all pay close attention to our spirits to estimate if profanity is right in our eyes and right in God's eyes, even when you do stub your big toe or trip over a toy car. The second thing I want to talk about tonight, and we want to look at in our study, is it biblical for Christians to get tattoos? Now, many people will tell you there's nothing wrong with getting tattoos, even Christians. I have always preached against tattoos, mainly because in the Old Testament, tattoos and writing on a person's body was a sign that a person owned someone. And when you have a tattoo, it is a sign that you're owned by something other than God. While looking down in our Western culture, up through much of the past century, tattoos, designs, and words etched into the skin with permanent ink have become a widely accepted as popular trend, especially among young people. So, are tattoos okay? Is inking your body a sin in the eyes of God? The short answer is, there is a definite answer in the Word of God, and we're going to look at it tonight. Scripture makes specific reference to tattoos as we understand them in modern times. God condemns all tattooing as immoral because he clearly forbids it in Leviticus 19, verse 28. Let's examine what the Word of God says about making a mark or tattoo on your body. Open your Bibles to Leviticus 19, verse 28. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Now, the Old Testament law commanded the Israelites, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. So even though believers today are not under the Old Testament law, does this verse relate to us as well? The fact is, Jesus said he did not come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. So, the laws of not making marks on your body are still relevant today. So even though believers today are not under that Old Testament law, the fact is that we as God's children are commanded against tattoos, and that may raise some questions among many believers. Since the word tattoo does not appear in this verse, in some popular English translations, this argument seems straightforward. Do not print. That's what God said. Do not print relates specifically to inking one's body, since it leaves a permanent mark upon one's body. Many Christians say this passage no longer applies to us because it is Old Testament law and not for Christians, since the New Testament does not speak on the issue. We do have this command, however, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. What does the Bible say? Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, while this passage is directed at Christian women, there is a principle here that may be appropriate to apply to this question, is tattooing wrong? Namely, a person's external appearance should not be the focus of our attention. Much effort goes into elaborate hairstyles and fine clothes and jewelry, but that's not where a woman's true beauty lies. In the same way, tattoos and body piercings are outward adornment, and we should be careful to give more effort to the development of the inner self regardless of our gender, whether a man or a woman. When it comes to tattoos, first ask yourself if you can honestly and good conscience ask God to bless and use that particular activity for His own good purpose. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The New Testament does not specifically command against tattoos and body piercing. It also does not give us a reason to believe God would have us get tattoos or body piercings either. On issues that the Bible does not specifically address, one important scriptural principle is if there is room for doubt whether it pleases God or displeases Him, that it is best to not engage in that activity. The Bible tells us in Romans 14, verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, but he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This verse reminds us that anything that does not come from faith is sin. We need to remember that our bodies, as well as our souls, have been redeemed and belong to God. While in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 does not directly apply to tattoos, it does give us a principle to live by. This is what it says. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Think about that. Would you put anything in your body to defile it inwardly? Would you drink poison? Would you drink alcohol? Would you take anything in your inside of your body to destroy your body because you consider this God's temple? Well, the same principle applies to the outside. Would you get anything outside of your body that is not of God that causes you to sin? This great truth should have a real influence on what we do and where we go with our bodies. Our bodies are so important to the Lord that He calls our bodies temples of God. Remember, we are commanded not to do things that will harm what is precious to Him. We are called to honor our personal temple in order to enter His. Then, there's a question of Christian tattoos. Do the same principles apply to tattoos that are Christian nature, such as crosses, a Christian Bible verse, or quote? Some Christians have found that having tattoos gives them more credibility and connectedness, and thereby more possibilities to evangelize with some groups of people. Obviously, a tattoo of a cross is better than a tattoo of a flaming skull and demon. Having a tattoo saying God is love and Jesus saves can indeed be a conversation starter with some people who would never approach a preacher wearing a collar. The question is getting a tattoo a sin? As much as it is getting a tattoo a good and necessary thing to do? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Paul says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Christian tattoos may be permissible, but are they beneficial and constructive is the better question. While there may be no clear passage in the Bible addressing tattoos per se, this is hardly license for unrestrained tattooing. You still need to think before you ink, especially if you're a Christian. While Christian tattoos would seem to be permissible, it is questionable whether they can be considered beneficial and constructive. If you're a Christian, let me say this. If you are a Christian and you've already got a tattoo, there's nothing can be done about it. A tattoo is permanent. Don't think God's going to send you to hell. He's not going to send you to hell. He's not going to condemn you for that. But many people get tattoos before they ever become Christians, and they don't know the truth. And many churches do not preach this truth out of the Bible. That does not mean that you're going to hell if you've got a tattoo. It does mean that it's not permissible according to Scripture. What did we read? Go back to Leviticus, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this as you live your life today and as you go out in the world. Think about what the Bible said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor shall you print any marks upon your body. I am the Lord. Do you remember what I first told you when we first started this message? I want to reiterate that. Tattooing in the Old Testament was a sign that you belonged as a possession to somebody. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That is a sign that we are a Christian. And the way we live our lives is an outward sign that we are a Christian. We don't need tattoos to prove we're a Christian. That is not a constructive way to prove that you're a Christian. If you are a Christian and considering getting a tattoo, the best thing to do is pray for wisdom from God and ask the Lord to provide pure motives and discernment whether you should get a tattoo or not. That is the thing to do for all of us. But don't always follow your conscience, because you might have a seared conscience. You might have a defiled conscience. You cannot always follow your conscience. Your conscience will not always lead you in the right path. Only a good, clear conscience could give you clear direction. Listen, my friend, cursing is a sin. Tattooing is a sin according to the Bible, and we should be very careful about going against the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the words we've studied tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you give us wisdom, you give us understanding of your Word. Each time as we come before you in our Bible study, open our minds, open our eyes, and open our hearts, that we may take this Word and apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, and we ask you, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding of your Word each time we come before you, so that we may relay it to our congregation. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for your Son going to the cross and dying for our sins to cleanse us and make us whole. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.